brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another sud segment where good beer meets bad radio and sometimes bad beer. Well, never mind. Never mind. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
How are you doing? I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. Me too. I'm glad you're here too. And you are sporting a very cool
festive. You can see that sweater from orbit.
It's my first beer-themed Christmas sweater.
Kendall is the
first ever?
Season.
Yeah, I don't have any beer-themed Christmas sweaters.
Really?
I've got other Christmas sweaters, but yeah, the only one with beer on it.
Ties it all together.
Is Kendall the one, you're the one with the sweater with the deer doing dirty stuff?
No, that's Mike.
Oh, that's me, that's mine. Okay. That's Mike's holiday sweater.
Yeah, that's his.
Speaking of which,
I'll loan it out to Kendall.
Good boy, Mike. Hello.
I am here to make fun of all things, Dave. Thank you.
And aren't you in your finery today, too?
Come back for the matinee show as well.
Yep. Gosh. Mike's dressed like an albino deer hunter.
I like it.
Yeah. I wish you guys could see this. Yes. There's a little bit of white. Actually, there's a lot of white. There's a little bit of orange and a little bit of gray going on.
Kind of like balls. A big creamsicle too.
Yeah. Hey, very good.
Reverend Mark.
Hey, it's so good to be here to talk about all things worth repenting over.
You're glowing today.
He did just come in from the nuclear facility.
Well, so happy to have you here with us. And good old boy Dave, hey.
Well, so long as we've got some time to kill, I think I'll have a beer.
That's for sure.
Ain't that the truth? Well, I'm good old gal Julianne, in case you didn't know who I was here. Today's episode is a brewery takeover of Burley Oak Brewing Company in Berlin, Maryland. Good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some info, please?
All right. We built our brewery from the ground up. But isn't that how all breweries are built? I mean, because you can't build it from the roof down. So, anyways. Utilizing sustainable practices with local materials and craftsmen. We love our town of Berlin. Ich bin ein Berliner. Berlin, Maryland. And we hope you join us in our tap room for a couple of pints and growlers. Our goal is to produce distinctive beers with unsurpassed quality while blending contemporary and traditional brewing methods.
I just want to point that unsurpassed was the big word in that entire paragraph for Dave.
I'm getting a lot better about picking what I'm going to read.
Well, I can say from experience, since good old boy Dave and I did come or did visit this brewery, it's a nice little tap room. It's a nice little space.
It was built very sustainably.
Wow.
They had a lot of lamps. And Christmas lights.
And things, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on. Good old boy Mike, why don't you give us a lineup for today?
The beers we're going to be tasting and discussing today from Burley Oak Brewing Company are Bunker C, an American Porter at 6.6%, the Pale Rider IPA, an Imperial at 9.8%, Coffee and Cream, Cream Ale at 5.1%, a Sour Chicky Sour at 4.4%. Sorry, Chicky. What did I say?
Sour Chicky.
I wasn't listening. I knew what was wrong.
Bulletproof Tiger and IPA. It's an Imperial at 10%. And if we have time, we may have an additional surprise beer if we have time in our show today.
So if we have time, we'll have a beer if we have time.
Correct.
That's what he said.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
If we had talked.
It's tonight. Not a double negative yet.
Okay. It's like tonight, we're going to rock you tonight.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well,
I am not a trained professional, everyone. I just drink beer and talk into the microphone.
Mike has not been house trained.
That's it.
Apparently not.
It's my attire that's actually stunting my my abilities today. So.
Well, it is a state school.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay, Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the suds ratings? And I heard that you were going to channel, I guess, particular...
Wah.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I don't know.
Is it a wizard? Is it Colonel Sanders? Does anybody know?
I will channel it now. These beers that we will be discussing and rating with these suds ratings go as follows. Number one. Wow, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud.
I think he's a ghost.
Number two. Was that a belch? Number three. Ah, what a relief.
There he's Mr. Ed.
Number four. A body should not make a sound like that.
He's just making stuff up.
And number five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
That was darn fine, Reverend Mark. Darn fine.
This episode is being brought to you by the Department of Redundancy Department.
What have I started here? Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Okay, let's get to the beer. The first one
I already did. I'm sorry. Am I skipping ahead here?
I think that's why things have gone this way so far.
Okay. First one we're going to talk about today is the Bunker C American Porter, 6.6% ABV. A robust porter, pitch black in color with notes of baking chocolate, fresh coffee, and a distinct umami character.
Ooh, umami.
Really?
Oh, your mommy.
I get baking chocolate.
It's very bitter. It's almost like somebody handed you a baking chocolate bar with like 28% cocoa.
Yeah. Do you taste mommy?
No.
No.
It is kind of like baking, almost like the baking, the cocoa powder too. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, that cocoa powder. Mm-hmm. But there is a bitterness to that, and it's that coming just from the chocolate or?
Yeah. I don't think the coffee is bringing. You know, that component around it.
I do get coffee, though, I think.
After a few sips, the coffee starts coming out. And I think after a few sips, I start liking this a little more. That first taste of
to adjust yourself to it.
It's pretty upfront.
Yeah.
So I would say, in general, I'm not a fan of flavoring porters, you know. I enjoy that Tootsie Roll, you know, roly-poly, you know, kind of element that you get around a good solid porter.
Almost
sweet, bitter, you know, and very simplistic. And many times when you're flavoring them up, they get too sweet really quick. That has not happened with this, though, has it?
No.
This has actually turned more bitter.
And it's interesting that they're doing it with a porter, because most people will do this with a stout.
True. Right. Yeah.
Because I think porters usually have some caramel in them when stouts don't.
Right. And then any of the caramel's going to get kind of pushed off to the side.
I think what's interesting is when I'm reading the notes here is that they named this because it looked like crude oil. And yet, when we were pouring this in the glass, I don't think it had like a really high viscosity to it. It's definitely very opaque, for sure. It is dense when you look at it. But we've poured things that have crude oil.
It's light on the body.
Yeah. It's
surprisingly deceiving.
Yeah. And I think part of what I'm leaning towards is that it really just has a ton of sugar on it. It's just not been sweetened up. It's been bittered out, if I had to describe something.
I think that's why I'm liking it, though. Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of sweet beers overall. And this is really starting to grow on me, that little bit of bitterness from the coffee and chocolate or whatever it's going on in there.
I want to try to leave a little bit of this in my cup. to let it warm it up a little bit.
My thoughts exactly.
As our resident dark beer lover, Juliana, what are you getting out of this?
I'm in Kendall's camp because I'm really liking it. What always worries me about porters is they tend to be a little sweet. Mm-hmm. They're thin and they're sweet, and I can't get behind that. So this is thin, though dark. I mean, deceivingly dark in color. And I like the bitterness. And it tends to, like you said, it tends to get bitter as it stays on my mm-hmm. tongue, which is kind of wizardy. Because you don't expect it to be magic. Like that. Yeah, it's very magical.
It's a kind of magic.
It is a kind of magic. But I'm digging it for what they did. I don't know what kind of voodoo they put in this, but I'm liking it because it's standing out to me.
Mm. Reverend Mark, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I don't think it's a classic, robust American porter. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that's not a bad thing.
Sure.
And I do think it finishes more on kind of the dry side with kind of a almost like a dark wineskin kind of aspect to it, for me at least. Mm. And I think it'll, as Dave said, will improve if I can just leave it alone and let it warm up.
I know, right? I'm keep reaching back for it. I want to taste it again, but I need to leave it.
I would have one pint of this and be done. I don't think I could have one.
I could put away a full pint, though. I think it's a decent porter. Yeah.
Let's rate this up for you.
Okay. So the Bunker C American Porter from Burley Oak, we are going to rate a 3.
I think that was a pretty good start.
I mean, would you have more than one glass of this?
I would.
Yeah?
Yeah. Especially this time
depends
of year.
Depends on the occasion. There are some foods that this might go really well with, too.
Hmm.
Oh, man. A bowl of chili? Mm-hmm. Some of this?
Yeah, on a cold night?
Oh, yeah,
I think just a straight up apple. I would look for something that would be a bit crisp and tart, you know, around this.
Apple pie?
Yeah, there you go. I like that plan.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
With a fresh piece of cheddar.
Oh, yes.
I don't do that, man.
We will be back with more from Burley Oak in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hello, everyone. Greetings. Thanks for sticking with us. We are having such a great time today.
We're sticky, too.
I'm glad the check was cashed.
Okay. In all seriousness, hi. Welcome back from the break. We are talking about beer from Burley Oak today in Berlin, Maryland.
It's a really big, buff oak. Does a lot of pull-ups.
Push-ups?
Well, push-ups are good for the abs.
Okay. Pull-ups.
Pull-ups are chest and shoulders.
Chest and shoulders above everything else.
Hand over, hand under.
Oh, always hand over.
Yep.
Or my girl.
Okay.
Services.
Wow.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Starting to talk like a New Zealand wizard.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about beer number 2, otherwise known as the Pale Rider IPA. This is 9.8% ABV.
Dang.
A farm fresh rye imperial pale ale made with 50 pounds of local rye from Clayville Farms in Snow Hill.
Now, keep in mind, we've had this for a little while in a crowler, but we kept it cold. I like this. It doesn't taste like 9.8%.
9.8.
Yeah.
No.
It's very clear. It's beautiful to look at. And when I first took it to my nose, it was like I could, it's almost like a juniper smell to me at first because of just all the spice notes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that taste, but.
Do you think that's from the rye?
I think it is.
Yeah. Hmm. Do you guys get much rye character out of this?
I was going to say exactly the opposite.
I get a little in the aroma, not much in the flavor. It just kind of gets sweet. It's really sweet.
It is kind
of sweet up front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite of what rye typically does for a beer.
Yeah. They usually dry out and you get that nice peppery spice thing going.
Exactly. And I think that's where I was, you know, kind of had set everything up based on the description of this beer. And then I was kind of tasting it going, okay, this is a dwarf of whatever it was. Or, you know, it just, I don't know, to me, it was gimmicky. I mean, you could have done this with no rye and it would probably have tasted barely any different than this.
It's like a standard old school double IPA. Yeah. Just a lot of malt, a little bit of bitterness to back it up, but it's drier, sweet.
Maybe. So like maybe they use the rye malt instead of the caramel malt, like just to give it that backbone.
I can't tell. You know, that rye malt, because it was locally produced too, I got to be curious how they kilned it, how they prepared it.
Right.
You know.
But I know I usually throw in rye on a IPA to give it dryness and to give it a little bit more spice than a sweet aftertaste. It feels
like very round, instead of dry.
Yeah, but it says 50 pounds of rye. Yeah, but I'm like, my first question is, how big of a system are you brewing?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, what percentage of your grist is that?
Right.
50 barrels and 50 pounds.
Not a lot.
I think it finishes nice. It's not a super dry finish, but I do get some bitterness on the end. I think it's sweet on the front and bitter at the end, and I kind of like that. But I do agree with Kendall that reminds me of like an old school, like that Green Flash IPA from back in the day, like when they would make that, the really big one.
I am not a fan of this. I would probably.
Well, Mike, I mean, honestly,
it's going to happen sooner or later today. Yeah,
we're going to find one. I've got a raspberry beer coming up later that I know you're going to just love.
Yeah, I would. If this was in a taster flight, I might finish half of it and then move on. That would probably be about the extent of attention it would probably capture for me.
Yeah,
I just, you know, reading the description, I just don't think that it was well executed. It's not a great beer. I don't find that it aligns with the description of it. And I don't know. It's not a bad beer. It's just not good.
It's kind of middle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, even
just
less
kind
than
of a middling. Yeah. Just
it's like you were aiming for a target and you missed it. You know?
Just a big IPA.
What do you think, JB?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, not to be mean. Like, I'm thinking, okay, pale ales, you know, tend to be a little sharp to me at times. So, yeah, I kind of get that. But I am missing out on the rye. I'm smelling it more so than I am tasting it, and I'm just a little confused.
I just wonder, like, I'm trying to remember back to when we had it fresh on tap, and it seemed like it was a little
more
sharper.
Pronounced.
Yeah. So it could be just a victim of
Crowler.
Being a Crowler for a while.
It could be us.
So it may be less than what it was. But, you know, this is what we have to go by.
Right.
What do you think, Reverend Mark?
Well, I think also, it kind of a formal question, there's a lot of emphasis, and I think rightly so, on indigenous products, you know, trying to get as much locally sourced stuff as you can. But I share kind of Kendall's question about, you know, how was this rye really?
Well, do you know like how consistent the rye?
Right. Yeah. I mean, malting is a tricky business, and there's people that's all they do. And, you know, if they might have a local malt house, I don't know, but just getting locally sourced rye doesn't tell you much. If they didn't get it malted.
And especially going from one batch to the next, you know, you might knock it out of the park with one and then the next.
And they might have just put the straight rye in there. They might have not done anything to it. It might have just been rye, raw rye, which maybe.
And then it should be a farmhouse kind of project rather than.
Well, but then do you actually get the full.
That's what I'm wondering. Impact, if they put raw rye in, you might not get that. You might need to kiln it a bit to pull that out.
Because there are some beers, right, mostly Belgian, that use like unmalted wheat. I've heard of that a lot more than unmalted.
Wit beers, historically.
Yeah. Which really, you just get the sweetness in the, I think, in the sort of the mouthfeel from that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I could go two,
all right,
three.
Yeah. All right. Either way.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Pale Rider IPA from Burley Oak a 2. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we do have an update today in the world of wizardry. I know that really has a lot of overlap to the world of beer, but in New Zealand, a city has taken its official wizard off the payroll.
Oh,
so
no.
Kind of an unfortunate time down there for wizarding in New Zealand.
But what though? This could be good for one aspiring wizard who's looking for a job.
Do you think it's that kid at career day when you're going, Billy, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be the town wizard.
I want to be Harry Potter.
But you know, he did have a highlight. He did have a career full of highlights that included rain dances in New Zealand and Australia during droughts, participating in protest, and repainting telephone booths. So quite the wizarding resume right there for you.
What does repainting a telephone booth have to do with wizarding?
What are telephone booths, actually?
What does the town painter do with, you take over his job?
That just shows how little you know about wizardry, man.
The wizard is known as Ian Brackenberry Channel.
Don't mispronounce that.
And there is a picture of the wizard. You can find it out there. I'm sure if you Google New Zealand wizards, you'll find him. And he looks exactly what you think he would look like.
I'm guessing he's probably the only picture that will come up.
This is a resume wizard that I would really, 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 really love to read.
Can we get him on the show?
Maybe. I'll talk with our agent and see if we can, our booking agent, see if we can light him up.
I mean, you got to think, like New Zealand, tons of great hops.
What kind of beer would
you
drink?
You know? You think?
look at Juliana. She didn't even know where to start.
So
speechless.
So what's amazing about this is part of his contract called for providing acts of wizardry and wizard-like services, and he was paid a whopping $11,000 US a year. So it's not like he's crushing it down there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I don't know. How far does 11 grand a year go in New Zealand?
Probably not very far.
Oh.
I don't know. How many telephone booths are we talking about?
Well, and that's all he's
5, 10.
That's the only income he's reporting.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah. But does he need income if he can just conjure his own, vittles?
Hey, Wizard's got an iPhone. Got to have an iPhone.
I'm thinking he just, abracadabra everything he needs. He doesn't need money.
Can't abracadabra 5G technology.
Does not say he's getting a pension plan. It looks like they've just cut the contract with
him. Well, there was some controversy. Yeah. He made some very
misogynistic.
Yeah, yeah. He was not. Yeah, he was not down with.
I mean, wizard's gonna wizard.
Yeah, that's true. He was old school. That was the thing. He was a little too old school.
Okay, but I had to think about this for a minute. The Hobbit trilogy was made in New Zealand.
Yep.
And Lord of the Rings was made in New Zealand. The Last Samurai was made in New Zealand. So
no wizards.
I don't know how the Last Samurai plays into it.
No wizards. There,
you
in
had
the last
me
samurai.
Until you went to Last Samurai.
Do you think he inspired those movies there, or do you think he's just a leftover extra?
I think he's a leftover extra.
So you're saying is somebody that's outkicked his role? Yes.
He doesn't say abracadabra. He says Peter Jackson.
Ian, cut. We're done. We're cut. Cut. We're done.
Maybe he's hoping that Peter Jackson will come back and visit.
Yeah.
Is he the president of the Peter Jackson fan club?
The new avatar.
He might be.
Is that his side gig? Yeah. his side hustle?
Well, I mean, look at him. He kind of does look like Peter Jackson, though, in a way.
I'm dying to know what Reverend Mark has to say about all this.
Yeah.
What is your official Methodist stance on wizardry?
On wizardry? Well, John Wesley was kind of looked at a little askance at one or two times as he made his way across the Atlantic back to England with all those Moravians. When he got off the boat,
have the same T-shirt? Don't touch my wand.
I thought it was please touch my wand.
Oh, that's Baptist. That's completely different Protestant.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Never Mark's really not sure where to go with this. We've stymied. You stymied Reverend Mark.
This is a business, not a home for irresponsible pus brains.
What's he doing? What's he going to do next?
Yeah, where do you go after?
Yeah, you know, it's like, can you see him interviewing for his next job? So tell me what you've been doing. I've been a wizard. You know,
a city wizard.
He looks
painting phone booths.
An older wizard. So maybe there is a wizarding retirement home, kind of like a Hogwarts, though. You know,
okay,
but for retirees, not kids.
Yeah, and for your halftime show here at lunch today, we have Ian the Wizard.
Yeah.
Put your teeth in for him, people. Come on. Let's put both those hands together. Let's give them a big welcome here at the Wizarding Retirement.
You're walking a fine line, buddy. You know? You don't want to go too far insulting old wizards. Huh. He's got nothing to lose now.
Wow. And he was doing this for a while.
Yeah. Right?
20 years.
Yeah. Quite the established wizard.
I want to see his performance reports.
I just wonder, like, how many other cities have a city wizard?
I can think of some cities that need a wizard.
Yeah. Okay, well, here it says that Christchurch is the only city in the world to have had its own official wizard since 1982.
You know, I would say if you could find somebody to fix all the potholes in town, that would be a modern day miracle. I would call them a holy man and put them on the payroll.
No doubt. So 1982, so pre-1982. Oh,
that's like 27 grand, you know, in modern day money. So
pre-1982, there were probably a lot of places that had their own wizard. Then they all just said, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
They became modern people.
And do you go to school for this? Do you?
I think it's like one of those learn at home courses.
Learn at home with
a
certificate.
Did Ian get a C+ in wizardry?
I don't know.
Where's the grade A wizards? Where are they working?
Hey, how many people could keep that job for 20 years?
Yeah.
All right, you gotta give them some respect.
Well, yeah. before
that's the real skill.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. He managed to go 20 years
and stay on the barrel. Yeah. To me, I'm like, yeah, dude, you're really doing well.
Well, he was born in London. I mean, isn't that where Harry Potter kind of came native. From?
He's not even native.
No.
Wow.
No, he's not.
Mm. Well, and if wizardry school is like seminary, you just
go.
And you have to read literature that is extremely arcane.
A Brit wizard in New England that got fired because he's a male chauvinist pig. Interesting. All right.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Cheers, my friend. Cheers.
All right.
Okay, moving on.
Great topic.
Yes. Let's go to something that we would have in the morning. Let's go to the coffee and cream.
Coffee and cream.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I had for breakfast Thanksgiving.
It's a cream ale, clocking in at 5.1%.
Wow. Smells like coffee.
Made with their house-made cold brew coffee.
Well, that was absolutely the first thing that hit me was it smelled like coffee.
Yeah.
So much coffee.
It does.
The aroma off this is definitely spot on.
So just for people who are not coffee aficionados, Mike.
Like, who are they?
What would be the benefit of cold brew coffee for using in this scenario?
Canadians got to drink something.
Rude.
And also cold brew. The aromatics are better because the heat's not driving.
See, that's what I was looking for, Mark. I should have just gone to you. Okay.
Bah, 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 bah.
It's always crazy when you have a beer with coffee in the aroma and it's this color. It just messes with your mind.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I think the first thing when I was looking at this and smelling it, it definitely reminded me of a white stout.
Yep.
Yeah,
the whole white stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely had a lot of the same roasty, you know, aroma characters to it. Mm-hmm. You know, that reminded me. I was like, okay, this is just going to be a variant of a blonde stout of some kind. But no, it's not. It's definitely a cream ale for sure.
Yeah, got a nice coffee, but with that nice coffee balance, there's a few beers like this out there that you know you take a classic American cream ale.
Yeah,
and throw a little coffee in
it. So right. Kendall, what would you say are the characteristics of just a straight cream ale?
Well, it's a very light ale that's made with a lot of corn in the grist. So that corn really helps lighten up the body. They usually finish kind of on the drier side. And it's just a classic pre-prohibition American style that's been around forever. And we're not really sure why they're called cream ale. They're not creamy. You shouldn't be adding vanilla cream or something like that. It's just an archaic name that's been around since the 1800s.
But the cream ale was sort of like a response to, or maybe a step from lagers, right?
Oh,
if you weren't equipped to make a lager, then you could really only make ales.
Right.
You could make a cream ale, which is about as close as you can get to a lager.
Like a Kolsch.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's a lot like a Kolsch, and that corn gives it a unique and kind of very American characteristic.
And also historically, and even still, they're made with an American six row. There's some six row in there rather than two row.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. So you get less of the proteins, right?
And it really has a higher efficiency. So thus you have more sugar.
You get more of that. So then you get this really nice kind of almost blank palate for the coffee to kind of lay on.
That's why it works so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. I think this is nice. I mean, cream ales have always been that, it's a cream ale and I got to get my head around it. It's not going to have much to it. It's not going to be much flavor. I mean, no offense. But
Genesee.
But this is kind of nice though.
Yeah.
I like it.
It is nice. The visuals throw me off, with coffee.
Sure.
But other than that, no, the flavor and the aroma are spot on.
And kudos for making a cream, like a coffee and cream ale, because not a lot of breweries will make a cream ale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely find myself comparing this to New Heights Cookies and Cream.
Oh, sure.
Which has been around for 5 years now. And it was actually one of their launch beers as well. So I think this is a little bit sweeter, maybe, than that reference standard I tend to think of. But I don't know that there's a reference standard. I've just had that one first. That's really kind of, probably problem that I have. But anyway.
Yeah. But I think as a go-to, and for somebody that doesn't like a lot of hoppy beers, this is very approachable and very easy.
Yeah.
We are going to rate the coffee and cream a 3, and we'll be right back with more.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today is another brewery takeover, and we are doing a brewery takeover of Burley Oak in Berlin, Maryland. Breathe a little. Breathe.
Getting there.
My God.
There's some water there for you if you need to.
Ooh.
So, next...
Mike hurt himself.
Just takes your breath away.
That is...
He might have, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the next beer that we're going to talk about is Sorry Chicky Sour.
Sounds like someone wants to get funky.
Yeah.
And that we are.
I would have been fine with that.
This is 4.4% ABV. At Burley Oak, they love their sour beers. And they also love all of the aromas that you get from IPAs. So by dry hopping this lacto-happy beer, they've created an extreme sensory experience that only a wizard could put together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they got that New Zealand wizard to come in. Wizard up this.
I think this is turning me into a newt.
So it has an interesting aroma, being a dry hop sour.
Yeah.
I'm getting the same hop characteristics I get when I smell Lagunitas hop water.
It reminds me of dill pickle.
It reminded me of Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like a beer. It smells like something was dry hop, but
I don't
definitely
I don't
pickle
get,
juice.
Yeah. I don't really get the hop.
But I'd like to pour this in my aromatizer at home, see what that would do.
When Mike said it tasted like dill pickle, it does remind me of that beer from Urban Artifact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dill pickle beer.
Yeah. Yeah, the sour with the hoppiness just is weird. Yeah.
Well, my first reaction was is that I felt like somebody had taken a full pound of Sweet Tarts and shoved it up my left cheek. It was just...
I'm guessing you don't mean a cheek under your
it
nose.
Was, it had that same kind of dry, powdery, you know, sweet, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, sour, tart component to it. Yeah. And it was invasive. It wasn't like, hey, I'm here, let's, you know.
I don't think that's a positive word, invasive.
It is kind of like powdery, like they use some kind of powdered lemonade mix.
It was extreme.
Mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's weird is I don't dislike it. Honestly.
Here, Dave, you can have the rest of mine.
I
would. I'll
drink it. I don't love it, but I don't dislike it. I think it's, I wouldn't drink a lot of it. But I think like
I'm not gonna
it's interesting
Singapore.
To me. I don't know.
And I think because it's really a small beer, you would want to drink a lot of a small beer. It's a session kind of strength beer, but I couldn't see myself doing a session with this.
What was the ABV on this?
4.4.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm thinking about the area that this brewery is from, right? So if it's the summer, if it's kind of like high humidity, you know, and you're out on Ocean City, which is in direct line to Berlin, for those of you from Maryland. Yes, one of my favorite places in Maryland is Ocean City. And I kind of get it. I mean, if it's humid out and it's really hot, you want something that's going to quench your thirst. And this will quench it. I mean, and it's low ABV, so you're not going to get drunk off of one can. This will
clear 20 feet around you.
Okay, that's fine. Because then you have enough space for your umbrella. I mean.
Lonely.
No sand in your crack.
Oh, just enough sand. Just enough sand.
Yeah, I really don't like this. The more it's sitting here on my tongue. I think of all the, you know, if they love sours and if this is indicative of, you know, some things in their sour line, give it up, man. I think you need to just, you know, you have not mastered this. I don't get the total dry hopping thing. Was that supposed to do something? Because
I think there are other places that have done it, you know, and I think of like, it's sort of in an opposite way, like Hudson Valley did the sour IPAs.
That's good.
Even Crooked Stave has done dry hop sours that have been really lovely.
So it's not a bad idea. It's just poorly executed.
It's just you know, your different approach to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a different approach. And it's probably kettle soured. And there's that. It's
like, you know, I don't even think of IPAs as being this low on the ABV.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to wash my mouth out with more Bunker C.
Well, okay. The majority is ruling on this, and we're going to rate the sour, chicky sour a 1.
Wow. Ooh.
However, I'm inclined to say that it wasn't all that bad. Okay. Moving on. Speaking of wizards.
20 feet.
Speaking of wizards.
Wizards, Mike.
Yeah.
The Bulletproof Tiger IPA. So, on a completely different assault on our taste buds, this is 10% ABV. This all New Zealand hopped IPA features Nelson Sauvin, giving it a punchy fruitness, Pacific Jade, giving it a softer, cleaner bitterness than most double IPAs. This Bulletproof Tiger is unstoppable.
I don't know, man.
Definitely get that tropical fruit thing, you know, going. It's not like full-blown, you know, like ambrosia salad, but it's heading down that path of kind of having coconut and
pineapples. Oh, it smells ambrosia.
And, you know,
it's a lot of fruit.
You know, cherries, you know, it has quite a few things. Maybe not the cling peaches, you know, but.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Yeah, it's called Bunker C. You know, this is just down that path of a double IPA that is just overtly sweet. You know, to me, it's the base beer is not coming through.
How does it just finish to you though? Like to me, there's a sweet bitter on the finish, like right at the end.
Just a little bit. I'm with Mike. This is too sweet. In fact, these big sweet hazy doubles are, I think, our best drink when they're really cold. This has sat a while, and they just, all the flavors just kind of get muddled together.
Yeah,
the sugar drowned everything out. Anything, Gravy Mark?
But it's not sugar of malt.
No.
Because I think if it had a really good malt counterbalance to it, that it would be a little bit more palatable. I also got kind of a vegetal aspect in my, I mean, yeah, I got the tropical fruits, but I don't know, just muddled is kind of a good word for that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Mark. There's definitely some of that, too.
Hmm. What do you think, Juliana?
Well, the smell on it is enticing. I'm trying to figure out why they named this Bulletproof Tiger. I mean, maybe because it's, you know, super sweet, so you think of like a cuddly little kitten.
Rock, paper, scissors.
And then... And then the fact that it's such a high ABV, you know, it'll punch you out later.
There was a tiger on the you know.
Or the Tiger King.
Right. Hi, I'm Joe Exotic. I'm here to teach you all about beer. I got something called Bulletproof Tiger. That's where I was thinking.
But if you like ambrosia salad, this is kind of right up your alley then. There's, to me, the pineapple is just overwhelming everything else.
I agree. That is definitely the dominant fruit that's coming through for sure. It's the first thing I smelled. It's the first thing I tasted. Mm-hmm. It's even on the back end. Yeah.
And I just want a little round dollop of it on some cottage cheese.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean...
With a cherry.
Maybe cook it down.
You can't take him away from the potluck dinner.
So I wonder if we blended this sour chicky with the Bulletproof Tiger.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, Kendall's
okay,
like,
fine.
Look at him. He's doing the cuvee route already. Did you come on the sour with it?
It improves both of them, actually.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. See?
There you go.
That's called synergy.
Nice.
Yeah, it cuts the tartness, kind of softens the vegetalness. Yeah,
I think they should bring Kendall in to consult.
What, on for the blend?
No, for the beer.
What do you think, Reverend Mark? Would you?
What are you going to rate this, Reverend Mark?
Oh, I'm going to give it this.
Okay.
Oh, Reverend Mark's going to give it the old one finger salute. Okay.
It was two. Stop. Okay, but for the majority of everyone, the Bulletproof Tiger Imperial IPA from Burley Oak, we're going to rate a 3.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, I think we got time for a bonus one.
Bonus beer. Bonus beer.
Oh, my God. I'm afraid at this point of what's going to happen.
So this one's kind of interesting. This is called Human Solenoid IPA. This is a New England IPA coming in at 8.8% ABV, but it only has 30 IBUs to it. So it's a double IPA with Nelson Sauvin, Mosaic, Citra, and Kohatu. We are the Human Solenoid.
We are the Human Solenoid. Very creamy. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that caught my attention. If you want a creamy IPA,
that's New England.
Yeah.
And low IBUs. Yeah, that's
New England. It's another one, again, with no bitterness to back it up.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
This is for that friend at the table going, I don't like hops. Yeah. You know? And you're like, you don't like is you don't like something that's bitter.
This is one of the sweetest smelling IPAs I think I've
ever.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Very floral.
Yeah, very, very floral.
I don't think it's an IPA, but
it
could be.
It smells like flowers or like grapes or like something like super sweet. Wow. Man, it just
smells like so jasmine.
Are the Kohatu hops. I don't know anything about that hop.
I don't know anything about that hop. This is the first time I've had anything that had that in it.
It's not bad.
No, I mean, I actually could drink this.
Do you only get that hop from New Zealand?
Yeah,
New
Zealand doesn't say that all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I think that's a typo. There's no way there's 30 IBUs in this. This is definitely swinging more like 90 or 70.
I don't think so, man. Like, there's no bitter on this. I mean, it's just hop oil.
These Kohoku hops are from New Zealand.
Oh, well.
So
oh,
there we go. Oh,
there's the wizard got them over there.
Yep. Wizard's got them back.
We found his next job.
Crushed pine needles.
Nope.
Tropical fruits.
Yes.
Yes.
So
maybe some pine. I don't know. I don't think so. I smell, it's like a fruit salad, dude.
This is like a fruit salad. So this is like banana and coconuts. If I had to pick up, you know, the fruit component, you know, in this,
it's mostly
coconut. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I get the, like a really overripe banana, you know, like how when they're, you're like, I need to throw this out or put it into something.
It's interesting. If I had not looked at I would have said this is a sessionable IPA.
Yeah, it does not.
It does not taste 8%. Yeah, no, I mean, no. I would probably be, you know, two or three glasses into this going, wow, why do I feel so good?
Yeah. Why do I need to lay down on the floor?
I'm wondering if their numbers are right.
Off.
Because some of these beers just feel a lot smaller to me than their numbers say.
Yeah.
Maybe. I've wondered about that. It's just, is there a little ABV inflation going on in the world? Because, you know, people think, you know, if I put 8.4 instead of 7.8, people might buy it.
It feels like a 4 to 5 percenter. And I think the IBUs are closer to, like, you know, around the 70 or 80.
There is something to that, Kendall. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like Europe where they get taxed by the ABV. Right. So, and people want to buy higher ABV beers.
It's like, there was a story like a year or two ago, somebody had one lab tested and it was like 5% off from where they were claiming.
Well, now you've had a chance to, you know, sample something with that hop. Would you choose to use it in a beer?
Oh, yeah. I'm curious to see what it would do.
What tropical banana it would bring?
I would single hop a beer with that.
Just curious.
And maybe even
I don't know anybody that makes a single hop of this beer or that hop. Sorry.
But I think like a single hop pale ale with that, I think would be pretty tasty and make it legitimately.
Yeah. I think they should take whatever they're doing with the pale rider and just single hop that. You know, send that beer to us. So this is interesting.
I would give that one that.
Well,
okay.
Well, just thinking about how it, you know, is against, you know, everything else. So.
Well,
yeah, it's an interesting.
I can do that.
Okay. We are going to rate the Human Solenoid IPA. We're going to give this one a 4.
Versus the Human Centipede, which is a...
It's an interesting flight.
A movie that no one should ever watch.
Huh.
It really is. So... You know, interesting with some breweries and what countries they're pulling their hops from and where their comfort zone is. So it's safe to say that Burley Oak is enjoying their New England hops, like New Zealand hops, and whether that's because it's like more available, you know, than some of the
wizardry,
they enjoy the wizards.
I think they should bring in the wizard for a day show, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Beer and wizardry.
Why not?
Oh, dude.
At Burley Oak.
Who would not go to that?
And really crappy rye pale. So.
I think there's, you know, there's something to be said for having a beer fresh off tap versus taking it home and betting that it will be okay. You know, after you.
Does anybody know if they distribute outside of Maryland?
They do not.
I don't think that. I have not seen their beers out. You know, out and about. So
I think not yet, but I think in the like Delaware,
Maryland,
and Virginia kind of region they do. But anyways, I mean, this has been a very interesting flight. Yes.
It was interesting. I can understand why, you know, you guys stopped by the tap room and there was, you know, there was some hope of, you know, some good beers.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, we did have quite a few. They had quite a few on tap, which I was really impressed by. And they're also known for their dreams, like their lactose type of beers, too.
Yeah, no.
So we didn't do that to you guys.
No, we didn't. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap that subscribe button.
Tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter. Our handle on there is @sipsudsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Sorry, I did pause.
And please do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That would be a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Good coughing up.
Right, yes.
We're killing ourselves for the audience.
No, we're killing it.
It was good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure as always. Enjoyed it.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
She drinks all the bourbon.
And yes. She drinks all my bourbon.
Love you, June, so much. Good boy, Mike.
Hey, come back. Enjoy another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, our favorite wizard.
So glad to be here, and we're not banning them yet. They're not all heretics, but we'll see the next episode.
Good boy, Dave.
But we are willing.
Hey, everybody. Thanks.
Wow. This is good old gal Juliana. Thanks so much for sticking with us, and keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
Is that your verbose tagline?
Yes.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.